14. Accusation and Denial. A band of men is coming along the path through the garden, carrying lanterns and lights and, I think, a few weapons of some kind. There appear to be 30 or 40 in number, and they are obviously agitated. In front walk the men I recognize as leaders in the protest movement. Behind them, an ugly crowd strings along, many of whom, it is obvious, have been drinking. We are immediately filled with fear and begin to run out of the park. Everyone scatters in twos and threes. I see Pete, Andy, Nate, Jim, Phil, Tad, Bart, and Matt all disappearing in the night. I sprint after them, finding a place to hide and watch in the trees. Jess steps forward as the band approaches. The chief evangelist, flanked on each side by the cardinal and rabbi, walk toward him, then stop. They are followed by a few dozen powerful and well-known pastors, speakers, elders, worship leaders, bishops, musicians, deacons, scribes, priests, authors, and Pharisees. "Who is it you want?" Jess asks calmly. "Jess Josephson," says Dr. Cephas, the evangelist. "I am he." Not expecting him to be so direct, or to not make an attempt to escape, no one replies immediately. "Am I the leader of a rebellion?" Jess says, looking around at them, "that you must come to me like this, in the dead of night, with a mob behind you? Have I not been in the middle of the city among you every day? But this is your hour, when darkness reigns, so let the scriptures be fulfilled." "We have had enough of all that, Josephson," says Cephas. "I assume you know who we are." "I do." "We are extremely influential leaders in our religious communities. The people listen to us and do what we say. We have put up with this nonsense you have been preaching long enough. We have come to demand that you stop. But we are reasonable men. We know that many of your followers are sincere people. Some of your teaching, even, is acceptable according to our doctrinal guidelines. So we are prepared to offer you a deal." I am hiding amid some trees listening, incredulous that they would dare speak to him like this. "Our deal," continues Cephas, "is in the form of a compromise. We are prepared to offer certain concessions, give you a position of some importance, perhaps in the church or synagogue of your choice, if you will join us rather than continuing to undermine us. In that light, then, I have just a few simple questions to ask you." He pauses to adjust his tie, then assumes a dignified posture. "We have witnesses that claim you said you would destroy the church and rebuild it in 3 days, he says. "Is this charge true?" Jess does not reply. "Answer him," shouts someone from behind. A big rough man steps forward and strikes Jess a full blow across the face, nearly knocking him to the ground. A gash from the side of his mouth begins to bleed freely. I wince in shock. How could this be happening to such a kind and gentle man? Suddenly a voice speaks right beside me. "Hey, you're one of them." I leap at the sound and spin around. I thought no one could see me here. No, you're mistaken," I falter. I'm just watching, that's all." "I saw you with him yesterday," the man insists. "You were beside him when they were arguing about who will be in heaven." "Hey," he shouts toward the scene in the clearing. "Hey, I've got another one of the ringleaders over here." "You're crazy," I cry in terror, starting to back away. "I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know the man." At last I find my feet in earnest and dash off. Behind me, I hear the evangelist's voice booming out in anger. "I charge you under oath to tell me if you are the Son of God," yells Dr. Cephas. "It is as you say," replies Jess, "and I tell you that you will see the Son of Man." "We need hear no more," interrupts the cardinal. "This is blasphemy pure and simple." Dr. Cephas draws close to Jess. "Look," he says, "be reasonable. If you don't accept our deal and deny this absurd claim about being the Son of God, we cannot be responsible for what may happen. This mob is in a violent mood. You can see that as well as I. There are those, I've heard rumors, who are likely to be less lenient than we are. I have heard some call for your imprisonment, even death. We are your only hope. There are forces at work which we may not be able to stop if this goes on too long. Do you understand? We may not be able to protect you." "If I have spoken falsely," says Jess, "then tell me plainly." "You are an imbecile," shouts Cephas, throwing his hands up in the air and glancing around at his colleagues. "I am telling you that your life is in danger, and you insist on playing your games with words like you've been doing all week." He shakes his head in irritated exasperation. "Take him away," he says. "I am through with him." He turns as the crowd grabs Jess, ties his hands, and leads him out of the park and back toward the city. From Jesus, an Obedient Son by Michael Phillips. Read by Michael Kimball. More information on this and similar writings may be found at fatheroftheinklings.com. Visit Amazon to purchase Jesus, an Obedient Son, and other books by Michael Phillips.